Okay, let's turn tonight to John, the 18th chapter. And we're going to do verse... I can't read it, so... 29, I think. Oh, 26 is where we'll start. And we will finish up chapter 18 tonight, even though we're still halfway into Pilate, but we'll finish that up 2 weeks from tonight then. Several things that I think we need to look at. Pilate represented the Roman Empire, was not liked by the Jews at all, really couldn't stand him. He was heavy on taxes. He changed the waterworks around Jerusalem, which was a good thing. The bad thing was he raided the temple for a lot of the money to do the project. So you can imagine how that struck the Jews. So when they bring Jesus to Pilate, there is no love for Pilate whatsoever. But this was how desperate they are in order to get rid of Jesus, is that they'll take him to a common enemy. So somebody begin with verse 26.
One of the high priest servants, a relative.
Wrong thing. I can't see, so.
28?
That sounds a lot better.
18:28?
Yeah, let's try that one.
Then the Jews led Jesus from Cyprius to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover.
All right, let's stop there. Does anybody see any irony in any of that verse?
So worried about doing the right thing.
Yeah, here they are. They're taking an innocent man who they knew was innocent. They're taking him to the palace of the Roman governor who they couldn't stand. But they did not want to walk in to that place because it was the Passover and you had to be clean. And one of the things that made the Jews unclean is if they came in contact with any type of leaven. Because do you remember what leaven represented? Sin. So here they were ceremonially doing all of their washings, unhappy about what they were doing with Jesus, but they didn't really give that a thought. But they were not going to take a chance on being ceremonially, whatever that big word is, we're not going to take a chance on being unclean. What lessons are there for us today?
Worried about keeping the Sabbath and not maybe helping someone in need.
Well, James, I'm surprised to hear that from you. In a kidding sense. Well, the irony of it is, obviously, it's easy to pick out things that people do and jump on the bandwagon to condemn them. And yet, when you look at it, what is the worst thing? I've sat on many of a church board as a member and as a pastor, and I've always had a pat answer for anybody that they wanted to disfellowship. And I said it every time. When we disfellowship someone for gossip, then I'm interested in taking a look and seeing if this person needs to be disfellowshipped. And that usually took care of the conversation. Because we are told by Ellen White, one of the worst sins that makes God really unhappy is gossip. And have y'all sat on boards? Know if anybody's ever been kicked off the church or kicked out of the church, kicked off the board for gossip? No. But anything outwardly, boy, we can pick on that because that's easy to identify. So here's these Jews, religious people. This wasn't a mob of citizens. This was the religious leader. This was the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, and some of the priests. They took Jesus from Caiaphas to the Pilate. But they wouldn't enter because they just didn't want to mess up that Passover. Ah, so funny.
I'm not clear. What would be in the Praetorium that would be so defiling?
The people.
Well, just coming in contact with Gentiles?
Well, that was, yeah, well, that certainly was part of it. But for this particular Passover, it was leaven, whatever leaven is. And that it was thought of that if you went into any Gentile's home or Gentile's place of business, that you could pick up leaven on you. Now, I always thought leaven was bread. Is it? So, it. But they would not go into anything contact of a Gentile's dwelling because they were afraid that they would pick up leaven. And so this was the reason they did not go. They did not want to go inside the Roman governor's place. They didn't want to take a chance on being defiled, but they certainly didn't mind murdering the creator of the universe, who, by the way, the leaven represented, and the Passover represented on what the death of Jesus would be. But this is what sin does. All right, so somebody read verse 29.
Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?"
Okay, read the next one.
They answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you."
Okay, so Pilate goes out, understanding he's going to make an interesting statement a few verses from now, understands that they're not going to come to him, so he goes to them and says, "What charges do you bring against him?" And they said, "Oh man, if this..." Now remember, this is in the middle of the night. This is early morning, so we're supposing it's 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So he had to get up, so obviously he's not in a good mood. So he says, "Why are you bringing this guy here?" And they said, "Man, if this guy wasn't a rotten, dirty criminal, we wouldn't be here." All right, verse the next one.
Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law."
Okay. Why did he say that? Okay.
They could, on their own, kill anybody. I mean, without his... Okay.
They couldn't put anybody... They could not put anybody to death.
Next verse is...
Yeah, let's wait till we get there. Now...
He probably didn't like them just like they didn't like him.
Yeah.
Where is it about his wife?
That's in Mark. This wasn't important to... What important to John?
Pilate and the Jews, they don't have a good relationship whatsoever.
No.
And here, of all things, get him up early in the morning, and they tell me, "We're bringing this man a criminal." Now, there is no way in life that the Jews was ever going to worry about bringing a criminal to Pilate.
Yeah.
He had to know there was some ulterior motive.
He didn't trust him. Now, do you think Pilate knew of Jesus?
Yeah,
absolutely. He'd heard about his miracles. He certainly had heard about him raising Lazarus. Pilate had worked and dealt with... Remember, he's the one that puts people to death. So he had worked and seen and tried and condemned many a hard criminal. What do you think he saw when Jesus came and he stood before Jesus and looked down at a man he's supposed to send to death? What do you think he saw?
I wonder if he's John the Baptist come alive.
Do you think that Jesus made an impression on Pilate just by his demeanor, his looks?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. He had dealt with hardened criminals. He knew what cursing was. He had heard what arrogance was. And here he looked at this man, and immediately he knew this man was different. He had heard of Jesus, knew of Jesus, knew of his miracles. So he comes before him. He knows that they're up to, as Leroy said, no good. So he says, "Why are you bringing him here to me? You know your law." In other words, what he's really saying is, this man hasn't done anything. If you think he's done something to kind of mess up your little playhouse, then go take him and go sentence him to whatever you want to sentence him. Don't bother me. Somebody read the next one.
"But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. "This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken indicated the kind of death he was going to die would be fulfilled."
Okay. So right there, they're tipping their hand. "We have no right." So they're telling Pilate right off the bat, "Man, we're bringing him. We want him killed." Now John, he adds in his own, "Now this happened so that the words of Jesus were spoken, indicating the kind of death that he was going to die would be fulfilled." So did this have to happen? Now we're back to, does he have to do it or did it have to do it? What happened if something else changed? Next verse.
"Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea,' Jesus asked, 'or did others talk to you about me?'"
Okay, now here's a crux of really what I think is the most important part. He brought Jesus in away from the crowd. Why would he ask him, "Are you the king of the Jews?"
Wouldn't that put him, since he's in the Roman position, to have some basis for his decision?
Could be. Why did Jesus answer the way he did? He says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, it's kind of interesting, "Is this your own idea? Or have others talked to you about me?" Does anybody have any insight to that?
Pilate is a Jew. He was already a renegade, wasn't he?
Was he a Jew?
Don't know that. I don't know.
Was that an opening for Pilate? Or, you know, it's kind of like, did you hear this from someone else, or do you believe in me?
That's the correct answer. This is the picture, again, that shows the love of God. What was working, this desire of ages, what was working on Pilate at this time? Holy Spirit. Do you see that no matter what happens in the life of Christ, even up until the cross, even as through his trials, every person that he comes in contact with, the Holy Spirit is there working, saying, "Can't you see who this man is?" And so the Holy Spirit was working on Pilate. Pilate's wife had had a dream.
Was
yes.
The conversation just between Jesus and Pilate, or could everybody else hear? Yeah.
Probably between Pilate and Jesus, and whoever Pilate had around. because the sanctimonious, boy, that's a nice word, that's a big letter, the sanctimonious people, the Christians, they didn't want to be defiled. The Holy Spirit was working on Pilate, and so Jesus said, did you come up with that on your own? Or has somebody else been talking to you? Is this coming from within you, or have you been listening to a bunch of these Jews out here? A direct appeal to Pilate, saying, can't you see who I am? And Pilate had to recognize this man was different. He'd never come across anybody like him. So Jesus says, is this your own idea? Or do others talk to you about me? Here's the appeal. Now, what does Pilate say?
Leroy.
Yeah, I think this is answer to yours, Leroy. Because he says, what do you think I am, a Jew?
Do you think I am a Jew?
So he must not have been a Jew. Yeah. He says, what do you think I am, a Jew? What's he saying?
It's not his own idea.
Yeah, how do I know? How can I put it together? Here's an appeal. Appeal to his heart. And pride. Desire of Ages says that pride came right back into Pilate's heart. And he brushed it off. Saying, well, what do you think I'm a Jew? How am I supposed to know all these things? It was your people and your chief priest who handed me over, you over to me. What is it that you've done? So now, see, we see Pilate getting on the defensive. Perfect example of God appealing to the heart. Jesus appealing, can't you see who I am? And pride enters and shuts that door. And now he gets defensive. Well, these people are the one that brought you here. What have you done? Somebody read verse 36.
And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.
Okay, and read Pilate's answer. Next verse.
Pilate therefore said to him, so you are a king.
Okay. What's Jesus trying to say here?
That he's the Messiah, the Savior.
Again, he's pointing back to Pilate. That's why it's important to understand that Pilate knew of him, knew who he was. His wife had told him he was a good man. Pilate's not shooting in the dark. He's weighing. Now, what does he have outside this room, outside his palace or room or whatever you want to call it? What are those people out there hollering? Kill him, crucify him. They're screaming and hollering. And do you see the battle going on here for Pilate? And I would suppose, though I don't know, his salvation. Because there's the Son of God right before him, and here's a crowd out there hollering, kill him, crucify him. And Pilate is sitting here weighing his political career. It's the temptation that we all come to at times in our life. Is it Jesus Christ or is it the world? Is it Jesus Christ or is it my job? Is it Jesus Christ or any other thing that comes? Pilate is sitting here weighing that. Because, pardon me?
He knows.
He knows.
Question.
Yeah, he knows. He knows this man is totally innocent. He knows this man creates miracles. and he looks at this man and he knows he is something. And the crowd outside is saying, in essence, you better kill him or we're going to make your political position as bad as we possibly can. And so he's sitting there. So now when you go back up, that's why Jesus said to him, did you come up with this? Is there something working on you, Pilate? How did you just come up with this? Man, what an appeal. Pilate knew what he was saying. Howdy. Is that your own idea? Yes, it is. Do you think I'm a Jew? Pilate said. It's your people brought him. Then Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. They would prevent. My king is from another place and kingdom. And then guess what, Pilate? He goes right back, just like Nicodemus did, just like a lot of people do when they really don't want to come face to face on who God is. And he says, well, are you a king there? Read Jesus' answer.
Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me.
Okay. Powerful words in this verse and the next one. Jesus said, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Can you see that appeal to Pilate? Yes, I am a king. I was born in this world to do exactly what I'm doing. I came in the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Now, does anybody guess what my question is going to be?
Truth about what?
Truth about what? Exactly correct. Didn't say I was born to come into this world and die. I wasn't born. I was born in this world to go through all of this. It says I was born into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Next question is, Pilate looks at him and says, what is truth? Read his answer. Jesus' answer.
I don't think he was still in time to answer.
Yeah, there is no answer. He didn't answer the question. Why?
Because truth was right there. Standing in front of him. He's already seen it.
Do you see a tremendous lesson in dealing with people? He worked and he worked and he worked with Pilate. And then he said to him, yes, I am a king. I was born into this world to bring truth, to testify to truth. And Pilate came back another time with a flippant answer, well, what is truth? And what did Jesus respond? Nothing. Tremendous lessons in witnessing.
Isn't this kind of parallel to the woman at the well wanting to get talking about the...
Parallel to the way that Jesus worked.
Yes.
Some people kept asking questions. and he stayed. Some people didn't, and he left. I trained salespeople who mostly do cold calling. When they come to a door and they knock on the door and the people say, "I'm not interested," what do you think I tell them to do? Go to the next door. It's the way witnessing is. When somebody is not wanting to listen or not listening or doesn't care, quit. And move on to the next person. Let the Holy Spirit work. It's interesting that Jesus didn't answer the question. Why? He'd already answered it. Remember, Pilate's salvation, I would suppose, was on the line here. His decisions were being made. And he gave up.
Weren't those decisions of salvation simultaneously being made by his decisions about his position?
Sure. Yeah. That was his weighing. Hey, do I want to remain a Roman governor? Or do I want to cast my lot with this man? But isn't that the decision that we all face for eternity? Do I want to cast my lot with this man? Or do I want to go do the things that I want to do? That was Pilate's decision. What is truth? Pilate asked. You think he was sincere?
Oh, no.
Couldn't have been.
It might ask that Pilate retorted.
Yeah.
The implication is that it was like a brush off.
Sure. Same thing when he said, "Are you a king?" "Yeah, I'm a king." "Are you the king of the Jews?" Well, what do I know about Jewish law? Then Jesus says, "I'm here to testify." Well, what is truth? Couldn't do anything with him.
See, that reminds me how it is with children. When you say something, "Why don't you do that?" Because why? Just because. It's a point they can't go any further.
That's right.
That's what Paul
no,
can't
yeah.
go any further.
Yeah, that's the lesson. When you can go no further. Now, Jesus could have sat there and argued for a long time. He wasn't getting anywhere. Believe me, if there was one sense of sincerity, Pilate, Jesus would have stayed there. And he's not through with him yet anyway.
You know, one thing that impresses me in reading this, first time I noticed it, but Jesus' answer seemed to be to Pilate. People in power are paranoid. The more powerful they are, the more paranoid they seem to be. But he keeps saying, I'm no threat to you, Caesar, or Rome. You know, my kingdom is above. And he said that a couple of times.
Yeah. He was refuting really what the Jews were saying. The Jews were saying that, you see, they kept changing their story. They started out by saying, "Well, he blasphemes. He's a blasphemer." Well, how did Jews take care of blasphemers?
Stoned them.
So see, if they could get him convicted on blaspheming, they would stone him. But they knew Pilate wasn't going to do that. So now they come in and said, "He's a man of rebellion. He's going to rise up." He thought Pilate would react to that. Well, Pilate caught on to that real quick. "Are you a king? King of the Jews?"
That's the beautiful thing about Jesus' response, is he never is untruthful about what he is, but at the same time totally shows Pilate that I am no threat to you at all. But
absolutely.
He never denies the question. He
no.
He it in a way
no.
that still states yeah. who he is and what he is, but that has nothing to do with you.
What he did was, of course, I'm geared to selling. And Jesus is a masterful seller. He took away every objection that Pilate could have. And when you do that to a customer, even in selling, you'll be surprised at the ridiculous things they'll come up with when you have them in a corner. Do you want this or don't you want this? See, and that's exactly what Pilate did. He just become flippant. With this, Pilate went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover? Do you want me to release the King of the Jews? Now, when we do prayer meeting on the harmony of the Gospels, in between this time, Pilate had sent Jesus back to Herod. Mark has it, I think. Mark has it, Luke has it, and two of the other three have it. Where he goes back to Herod, and then he comes back to Pilate. When he went to Herod, he had a fascinating thing. He just said, perform a miracle and I'll know that you're God. And Jesus did nothing. He says, come on, just perform a miracle. Show me some power and I'll believe you. And so he gets bored with Jesus and he sends him right back to Pilate. And Pilate's unhappy, believe me. Pilate knew because he's trying everything he can not to have Jesus killed. But it was for the wrong reason. He saw innocent, but he's trying to wiggle his way out. And so he finally comes up. As soon as Jesus says to him, what is truth? He then takes Jesus, brings him outside to this mob, and says, look, on the Passover, us nice, kind Roman officials, we always release one of your people that's in prison. So do you want me to release the King of the Jews? Now, believe me, he was hoping they'd say, yeah, let's do that. How stupid could he have been? Oh, I mean, when you really sit and look at it, he's hoping for a miracle. You know, as if they're going to say, yeah, I guess you're right. We were just wrong. Well, release him. Do you want to release the King of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Now, this is where you need, in the harmony of the Gospels, to go to the other books. Because the other books spell it out. They bought out Barabbas. Barabbas was a robber, a thief, a hardened criminal. He was not a petty thief. He wasn't just a little robber. He was a hardened criminal and probably wasn't very well liked by the Jews themselves because he had brought a lot of problems to the Jews because of what he did. And so Pilate, he dreams up this little thing and he says, well, I'll take this nice, meek, innocent person and I'll put him up against Barabbas and surely they'll hate Barabbas so much that they'll say, release him. By the way, would anybody like to gather most likely what Barabbas' first name was?
Jesus.
I would dare say that Barabbas fit the mold of the Messiah that the Jews were looking for.
Yeah. Because he was in rebellion.
Insurrectionist.
Yeah. He was a crook to the Jews. But he also was to the Romans, and a lot of people made him kind of like a Robin Hood. But so here you have Jesus Barabbas, and you have Jesus of Nazareth. Again, can you imagine as Pilate sat there and looked at this, how he had to feel when the religious leaders, remember these are not citizens, common people, these are the religious leaders, and they cry out, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Again, an appeal had to be an appeal to Pilate. But he's just not man enough, convicted enough to stand up for God. He was not going to go against that crowd. Doesn't make sense, does it? But you see what can happen when you're caught up in religious things, religious practices, religious church, and you don't know who Jesus Christ is. Pilate recognized it. He recognized who he was when the religious leaders didn't even recognize it. But yet he wasn't strong enough. Because the final decision came down between the world and Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's our final decision. I thought this passage was of interest. We've all known the story. But to me, again, it points out what I think every story. It's not the beating that Jesus takes. We'll talk about that 2 weeks. It's not that. But even in the midst of all of this, there's Jesus working one-on-one, trying to save a man, appealing to the heart of a man, who eventually would say to the Jews, take him and kill him. If that's not love, I don't know what it is. Any comments? No.
I was thinking along this last verse that where the Jews are crying, no, give us Barabbas. Barabbas the sinner. Is this where Christianity picks up their idea that of the substitutionary death, where we're substituting the sinner or Christ for the sinner?
No, I don't think so. I think that goes back to the sanctuary service from the very beginning.
But it is present here, but maybe not.
Yeah, it is present. Yeah, it is present.
Yeah. I don't know, but I just kind of imagine that Barabbas hears all those people shouting his name, and he probably says, "Yes, my number is up. I'm going to be done in."
Yeah.
And then he finds out he's set free. You would imagine that should have.
Well, it's interesting to say that. There's an author who's wrote quite a few Bible books, and he, in one of the books he writes, he says that Barabbas was there at the crucifixion. He's supposing, he's not stating this as a fact. And he sees Barabbas is at the crucifixion and sees Christ die, and he's converted because he says, that should have been me. So, you would think it would have some effect on Barabbas. Maybe it did. Don't know. We don't have any record. But you think it would have some effect on Pilate. You would think it would have some effect on the other thief on the other side. You think it would have effect on the people at the cross. But that's the mystery of sin.
It's hard for me to believe that the Jewish authority did not recognize the divinity of Christ. I suspect that, like Pilate, they did recognize his divinity, but they rebelled against it.
Yeah, I think, well, that's why Jesus did so many things. I mean, he kept taking away all the things they said about him. He kept disproving it, so they had no reason. But if you have a concept from the very beginning and it doesn't fit, oh, I guess their church is like that. if you have a concept from the very beginning and it doesn't fit your concept, then it can't be right. And that's exactly what it did. That's the danger of having a concept that you think, quote, you have the truth. Because if you have the truth, then you got the truth. What else is there to add?
And we can't get any more.
Can't get any more. Or this person over here certainly has nothing to show me. So that's the danger, and that's what happened to the Jews was they said, we've got it all figured out. In fact, we're the only ones that got it all figured out. And here he came. Can you imagine, I heard this today, can you imagine the reactions when poor little Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree, who was a tax collector, a sinner, people hated him, and here comes Jesus and he stops and he looks up and says, come on down, I'm going to your house today. Can you imagine what the Jews thought? See, that's what legalism does. You don't fit my way? Wow. That's what happened with Pilate. He just couldn't pull the trigger because his pride was there. Any other comments?
I don't know. I think Pilate, you know, he was, out of all the people, Jesus goes to Caiaphas or Annas first, and then, I mean, he goes to what? You know,
yeah,
five plus people.
Yeah. Oh.
And Pilate, to me, I guess, I don't know, seems to be the one that gives Jesus a chance.
Absolutely.
And he, at least he has the guts to come forward and say, man, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. But, and I think Pilate, I mean, I don't think Pilate slept that night or the night after. I mean, I think Pilate had a, I just think I can say he was under so much pressure from all these angles that he wasn't man enough. To do what he knew was right.
Yeah.
I think he knew what was right.
Yeah. And you'll see as we talk that Pilate's the only one that Jesus has a discourse with.
Right.
Because of it, see. But then the tip off at Pilate, which we'll get to 2 weeks from now, was what's his famous saying? Wash my hands of this, see. Don't
worry. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit impresses you and you turn your back on it.
See, the Holy Spirit can no longer do anything, and I wash my hands. Yeah, Pilate was most likely a pretty, in this essence, was a good guy. You feel sorry for Pilate in a sense, but
strictly saving his own hide.
Yeah, how Jesus worked with him. See, that's the lesson. That's the story. How Jesus worked with him. If he'll do that for a man who is going to look at him and finally say, go kill him. My, what will he do for you?
I like what you say. The guy could never again in his life sleep.
Because he had the privilege of looking and seeing truth. It was right in front of him. And he knew it. Father in heaven, thank you for being the type of person you were with Pilate. You worked with him. You guided him. You tried to appeal to him by saying, did you come up with this that I'm the king of the Jews? Because Pilate was wondering. The Holy Spirit was working. But Father, your book is full of stories of how you worked with sinners, how you loved them, appealed to them, did what you could. Thank you for that story, because you do the same for us tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.